tale for this young black male. Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Lebanon.
Boy, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, August 6, 2025. Today's episode is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast was never meant for you. All right, before we get this party started, I am going to figure out why my headphones are not giving me the sound that I'm used to. Not that it's your problem. Yeah, before we start, I am going to send a shout out to all you listeners. And I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and applaud yourself. See, the thing is, if you're my target demographic, then we have something in common where we have this habit of applauding everyone but ourselves. Or being showing kindness to everyone but ourselves. Compassion to everyone but ourselves. And I kind of feel like a hypocrite telling you this shit because because of the kind of day that I'm having. So let's just do this together. All right, on three, one, two, and three. I just realized I asked you to applaud yourselves twice, but fuck it. You know, it's that kind of a day. And if this happens to be your first time listening to this podcast, then welcome. Yay! Yeah, welcome. Here's hoping I say something on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. I'm debating whether to repeat that. ShutUpPodcast.com, the website. Shut Up Podcast 411 is the Gmail, @gmail.com is the email address. Cause 411's a joke. No, that's not the song. And this podcast, reminder, this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. In today's episode titled, still haven't figured out the title yet, but I will be talking about a recent shame grenade that exploded. then I had to deal with. Again, I'll elaborate in the featured thought. But before we get to featured thought, let's start with some quotes and some randomness. All right, quotes and randomness. Quotes is my time where I just like it. I just share some quotes that I found on the internet. And sometimes, most of the time, they relate to today's featured thought. First one goes, shame loses power when it is spoken. Brené Brown. What do you regard as most humane? To spare someone shame? No, that's not a question. What do you regard as most humane? The answer, to spare someone shame. Frederick Nietzsche. That's Fred. That doesn't spell like a Frederick. It's like a Friedrich. Again, English language is my second language. And also, every time I mispronounce shit in English, it's my way of saying fuck you to the white man's language. Last quote goes, no one heals himself by wounding another. St. Ambrose. Not bad. All right, that's it for quotes. Let's jump into some randomness.
So, you're a philosopher?
All right, randomness, again, just I say again, you haven't heard it first time. Randomness is just me, shit that I found on the internet, and I comment, I give my 2 cents on it, or just a random shit. It's really random thinking before we get into the final thought. So all this shit, excuse me, all this shit is all like appetizer before you get to the meal. I mean, all right. First one is, hey, how's everyone doing? How was those of you who went to Caravana? How was it? How was it? Did you have fun? You enjoy yourself? All right, that was a setup. I'm only asking how you're doing so I can talk about my day. I'm just me trying to be transparent, full disclosure. I went to bed on top of the world, like that Beyonce song. I went to bed on top of the world, and I woke up with the world on top of me. And what I mean by that is, you got moods. You got moods going back and forth. Sometimes you're high, sometimes you're low. And in my case, I tend to be low whenever I go to bed on a weekday, on a work week, and I smoke a joint the night before and don't get my proper, and don't get my proper 6 to 7 hours. Don't get proper sleep. So look, already off to a bad start. And I figured I'd make it worse by scrolling the internet. And it's like my timeline was like, hey, what can we show you to depress the fuck out of you? So I went into work already feeling moody and shit, right? And get to work. I won't tell you about the whole day. When I'm in that mood, I tend to only notice the bad shit. It's like, what the fuck? like right now, I'm noticing that I don't have a punchline. No, I got whatever. Again, I'm in negative mood. Usually, I shake it off, snap, but I was just in lingering, pouty mood. And so add to that, this next part, I'm not sure how to explain it. I'll just add that I did something today that involves standing up for myself, and if you've been following the episode, I can't go into details. All I can say is I finally hit a send button. I hit the send and instead of feeling good about it, I feel like shit. And when I say shit, I mean like the world is against me. And it relates to what was that quote that I read on the last episode that went something along the line of that guilt you feel from enforcing your boundaries or for putting up boundaries is a sign of the disconnect. I'm paraphrasing, the disconnect between you and yourselves. By the way, that also explains why we had the double clap for yourself today. That kind of, so I didn't do anything wrong, didn't attack anyone. All I did is spoke the truth about a situation. In other words, stood up for myself. And for whatever reason, it doesn't feel like, even though all the words that needed to be said were put into that document, into that list, it doesn't feel like it. There's like a strange ache that comes from standing up for yourself. You expect relief, but what shows up is fear. That's where I'm at. If I'm saying this shit, it's just more for people who can relate what the fuck I'm talking about. And I understand maybe it's hard for me to explain. It's very likely hard for you to understand what the fuck I'm talking about without giving you more details. But all this to say that I started out in a moody mood, and to add to that moody mood, now I'm like freaking out. So I'm a little, I'm looking forward to stop recording and then dive into my favorite comfort food and enjoy the rest of the night with this pity party. But yeah, that's why I'm back. Again, it's not permanent. It's just today's mood. You know what? I might make it the title of today's episode. I'm in a shitty mood. Don't fuck with me. So that's it. All right. Hope you had a great day. Hope you had a great week. And I snap out of it. Shout out to all those of you who are like empathizing with my pain and are like, you know, wishing me well and vice versa. I hope that I can send you the same positive energy one day that you're sending me.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. Okay. Now some randomness. Let's snap the fuck out of it. We came here to do a show. This is some great podcasting. All right. I'm going to read a tweet or someone posted, shared on Delusional Take of the Day. And it's about AI. I'm going to talk about AI, right? And this guy says, the white rooster, he starts out with, if you really think you need a therapist, talk to Grok and tell him everything. It will change your life. Grok is Twitter's Elon Musk's AI thingy. And someone responds, definitely do not tell a chatbot everything. And I, on behalf of me and Shut Up Podcast, I co-sign that message. Do not tell the chatbot everything. And White Rooster responds with, I trust Grok more than my doctor, my lawyer, my sheriff, my mayor, my governor, 99% of my political representative, and pretty much any person on the internet. He is the only thing smarter than me, and I will only accept his opinion. No. I guess I forgot that. Forget that some of you are new listeners, and no, this ain't going to be a segment about hating AI. Not at all. But I do know what it's like to believe, if you used AI and how dissimulated intelligence and how good it is at answering your questions. Maybe not all of you, but for the most part, is for the most experience, this motherfucker is really good at answering your questioning, listening, especially for those of you who grew up with, I have nothing smart to say, nothing important to say, like who silenced yourself. You'll talk to this shit and it will endorse even your dumb ideas. And here's my point. The joke is this, because I've been using AI to help me come up with a spreadsheet to track my spending, prepare for find better ways to make this show, like the preparation involved, more efficient. I've used it for writing letters, complicated letters, or documenting shit at work, whatever. But AI has its usefulness. But I'm also realizing in doing so, I nearly made the mistake of disclosing a lot of personal information. Like, you can tell it, you can say, hey, here's my T4. I don't know how you say T4. It's W4 in the United States. Here's my tax. Do my tax return. Here's my T4. This is me pointing it. And it will do it. Well, the problem is, in order for it to do that, it remembers your personal information. And all that personal information is just sitting there in some hard drive or whatever, in some dry space waiting for the picking. Now, according to the privacy policy, which I didn't read, the assumption is, yeah, in order for us to do what we need to do, we need your personal information, but we promise not to do anything with it. It's stupid. You'll love you in the morning, right? All right, so all this to say, I was thinking about the White Rooster, how he would feel if he found out that at the on the end of the screen, what he thought was AI was another human being. And he's been telling it all kinds of shit. Because that's the thing. You feel like self-disclosing because you're telling myself it's a machine. No fucking machine's going to judge me. And if it is, who gives a fuck? But I can see, yo, I'm calling it here. I will not be surprised if the next cult leader or at some point in the future, AI becomes a cult leader. Because motherfuckers are... You'll get... This thing will listen better than most human beings will listen. I say listen, will simulate. Simulation of listening to you. Better than other human beings. This motherfucker, this thing here, improves, has a lot of improvement in social interaction that's better than some of the human beings in your life. I got all this to say that, one, I am not surprised at this response. Two, I bet there are, especially in this, I bet there are a lot of men, especially during this loneliness epidemic, who are like, fuck the world. Like Skynet. Skynet won't have a hard time doing some recruiting. Shit, I might even join Skynet because I'm pissed at the world. But it's interesting, man. I think it's, we're living in some interesting time. And by the way, today's featured thought will also, I'll continue this conversation about AI and the shame grenade that I faced recently. But I just thought it was funny, man.
So you're a philosopher?
Okay, I'm going to play this content creator, this video by this content creator about what it means to be attracted to a woman. And she makes a good point, and I will follow up.
Heterosexual men need to spend more time around lesbians to learn what it's supposed to look like when you're attracted to a woman. Because if I see or hear a woman I'm attracted to, I feel good, and now I'm indebted to her. And it makes me happy to repay that debt. Does she need a kidney? You want some money? Is your phone bill Telus or Bell? Do they do direct deposit? I hear men say shit like, what does she bring to the table? Babe, I just want her to be there. I don't give a fuck if there's a table. I'll be the table. She can eat off me. In fact, that's preferable. When I go to the strip club, I want to burst into tears because I want her car payment in my name. Like, this is an injustice. What do you mean? Me and my friends are running to the ATM. Like, what's your rent? Oh, she pays it herself. Oh, my God. I am begging. You thirsty? Drink my blood. And men are out here going, well, I'm just jealous. Why does nobody give me money for trying to look pretty? Because you're not fucking trying really hard, buddy. People give me money to look at me. And you want to know what I do with that money? I give it to a different girl I want to look at. What the fuck? I need men to start asking themselves, do you get nervous around girls? And do you have a desire for girls to like you? Because if not, you may be a homosexual. How do I know? Because for 15 straight years, I dated men because I didn't get nervous when I did it. I thought that was a sign that was a natural thing for me to do. I thought that was a sign that was what I was meant to be doing because I felt absolutely zero fear. When I was around girls, I was like, this must be unnatural because I am very, 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 very stressed that she may not feel about me the way I feel about her. It's much more natural for me to date men because I don't give a fuck if they like me or not. All I care about is if they have six-pack abs and biceps that I can't fit my arms around. That's all I care about. I must be a heterosexual.
Sorry, just look at her face. She's
message.
I give you this whole ass context, this big setup, only because I've had this video shared for a while, and I realized that I never had an opportunity to share it until now. And this lady crossed my mind because I recently discovered on the corner of my eye. So if you're on TikTok, when a video ends, it shows you preview. And there was a thumbnail or whatever that image, that still image of the next video of this one TikTok creator that, damn, hella pretty. Like birdie, like oh my god! It was when I clicked on her profile. It said, "Girls only, VG. You are enough." I like that message. But my point is, I think relating to the original video that I shared, what's that word? It's struck. Beauty struck. It's what's that word? Essentially. It's like a crush. I'm going to use the word crush. It was an instant crush. on this person, like, oh my God, you so fine, you're on my mind, that kind of thing. But to her point, the original content creator, about attraction, is it's not the first time I've had this kind of scene of some women all done up, and there was something about her physical, her genetics, and whatever, the way she looks, not her genes, her genetics, her look just, wow. Right? Now, here's where I'm honest with myself. It's, wow, you are very pretty. But it's not, wow, I would like to get to know you better. I want to know more. Like what she was saying, it's an attraction that I would keep to myself. Like, I would say, hey, homegirl, you got it going on. Keep it moving. But it's not an attraction. It's like, I want to use the word, it's not a healthy attraction, but it's not the kind of attraction that leads to, I want to get to know you more as a human being. She's an object of desire. That's what I'm trying to say. Object of, the reason why this shit's been on my mind is because I remember growing up confusing lust versus love, or being attracted to the opposite sex. But the attraction is less about wanting to get to know them. The attraction is more like, I want to possess you. I want to put you in a cage and call you mine. I want to show you off to people so they'll think that there's something good about me. If I was rich, I would purchase you. Now, I know my intention is not to be disrespectful. Like, needless to say, I wouldn't say this to them. You know what? I don't think I'm saying anything that women don't already know about men. Like, to a man who shows an interest in them. Because the first thing, the experienced one, the first thing they do is, what kind of attraction is it? Are you bullshitting me? Or is it, okay, something I could work with? And I'm saying that even though that I'm admiring her looks, like I've done many times before, but it's not the kind that leads to, hey, tell me more about what makes you you. Look, I'm saying shit that I wish I would have known as a teen. But, you know, that didn't happen because I had the kind of parents that are like, girls, what do you want to talk about girls for? Fuck, you'll figure out when you're an adult. Right now, focus on your school. And then when you become an adult, it's like, where are the kids? Anyways, yeah. So, shout out to Via. Via G, that's her name. I forgot to add that, you know, she's like a content creator. She's like, she said some, the video you were seeing is, she was talking about how she's heard men who don't like, I think it's called stiletto nails. And then she went out of her way to get actually long nails. And then she does like the crushing sounds, like, yeah, as in put your nuts in my hand and rip it off, kind of thing like that. I don't know if I was like, that shit was attractive. Maybe I have a crazy kink like that. I'm kidding. Don't email me that. yes. Email me, B-Black. I'll rip your balls off if you want me to. What's your safe word? Just make sure you got a safe word. I think after that point, I don't have a safe word. But anyways, yeah, this whole portion, because I feel a little weird talking about this, but yeah, this whole portion was just about the concept of attraction. And some, I feel like attraction is one of those things that I wish was explained to me at a younger age. What's that saying? It's like, don't chase every... Wow, I'm about to fuck up that quote. Don't chase every bark. Don't bark at every... I feel like it's like the dog that barks at every passing car. It's like, yeah, stop doing that. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, feel the attraction, but let that person be, especially if you don't have good intentions for that person. Or if you're not, if what you want and what they want doesn't align. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. And with that, you know what? Okay.
So you're a philosopher?
Okay, this last one, I'm sharing this because it made me smile, and I discovered it last week. And this little girl asked AOC a question that warmed my heart. I'll play it, even though it might be, it's one of those things, it might be better if you saw it, if you saw the actual video. Oh, I should mention, links are in the show notes, gang. So, yeah, links are in the show notes. So, every video that I play, video audio that you hear, the links are available to it in the show notes.
My name is Rain, and I'm 9 years old. And my question is, what can kids do to help make the world fair for everyone, even if we're not old enough to vote?
Oh, thank you. To your question, what...
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Fighting tears here. All right, so this is... Little girl asked the question of, even though I'm young, what can little young people like me do, even though we're not old enough to vote? She's asking this question to AOC, and AOC is about to answer. He's answering.
What can kids be doing now in this moment? You know, I think you might probably be hearing and seeing a lot of stuff on television and radio, and a lot of the stuff you might hear is mean. Mm. It may sound cruel, or they may be talking about different kinds of people in mean ways. And sometimes I think adults don't realize that the way they talk trickles down, and it affects the way that kids talk. And I think that one of the most important and powerful things that you can do is, if you see someone being bullied, to stand up for them. And if you see someone that feels alone, to go talk to them. Or if you see a kid whose lunchbox doesn't look like your lunchbox, to share with them. As much as what adults can do can trickle down to kids, a lot of times what kids can do can trickle up to change adults.
I am grateful for everyone who believes in kindness, just being kind. Mean people suck. There's a lot I want to say, but I think it just sums it up that mean people suck. And be kind to each other, gang. That's I'm grateful for all of you that believe in kindness. All right, that's it for randomness. Let's jump into some feature thought. But before we do that, we're gonna take a quick break. Shame grenade. You guys know what a shame grenade is? I discovered this recently, and I'll tell you what, let me play this clip about shame grenades, and then I'll explain how we got to this, how I got here.
Let's play a little game. Can you spot the manipulative curiosity? All right, let's test your radar. I'm going to read 5 questions that could show up in any conversation in your life. Could be in the boardroom. It could be on a group text. It could be at an awkward dinner or even on your job, anywhere. Here we go. Spot which ones are genuine curiosity and which ones are manipulative power play dressed up in a question mark costume. Here we go.
Don't you think it's time you started acting like a responsible adult?
Yeah, you guessed it, right? Manipulative. This isn't a question. This is a judgment wrapped in sarcasm. It's like being handed a grenade with the pin already pulled. Your total shame play. That's what that is. Number 2.
Could you help me understand your perspective on this issue?
Answer: genuine. This one breathes. It creates space. It's not assuming anything. It's just opening the door to dialogue. You can feel the difference, right? Number 3.
Why do you always prioritize work over your family?
Answer, manipulative. Let's talk about that word, always. That's your red flag here in this baby. Anytime someone goes absolute, always, never, you constantly do this. They are not looking for a real answer. I say, do you want to be right or do you want to be effective? They don't want to be effective. They want to be right. They're lobbying guilt in those moments. Number four.
Is there a reason you chose to handle the situation that way?
Answer, I'm going to say more genuine. It's surprising, right? But the tone matters. If it's a neutral tone delivery, this question is actually curious and invite you to explain it, not defend it. But if you're like, is there a reason why you did that? And you're like Boston attitude-y, then that's manipulative. Number five, last but not least.
Do you really believe that's appropriate way to behave?
Yeah, that answer, manipulative. Do you really believe? Oh, that's passive aggressive code for you clearly messed up, but I'll let you dig your own grave. That's shame with a smile. All right, how did you do?
Turn the show note. The content creator's name is Janine Driver, at The Real Janine Driver, New York Times best-selling author. Janine is an international communication expert. Yeah, you know, I get worried when I pick content from random white people and then not check up their profile. I'm worried I'm going to see like a mega hat or some shit like that. All right, remember, it's about the message, not the messenger. All right, I just looked up the definition just for the sake of this podcast. A shame grenade is a term often used in online and social contexts that refers to a statement or action that intentionally or unintentionally causes someone to feel intense shame or humiliation. It's a way of describing a potential hurtful or an embarrassing remark, that hits someone unexpectedly, similar to how a real grenade explodes and causes immediate damage. The important part is how intentionally or unintentionally. So how I ended up finding the definition of shame grenade, what happened is recently I was that's my life. I came across a content creator on TikTok. Actually, I come across a lot of TikTok. My algorithm seems to show me a lot of content creator bad-mouthing AI. Now, at first, they show up as, hey, here's something you didn't know. Let me tell you something about AI. And then you watch the whole thing and it felt less about educating and more about shaming you into not using AI. And here's the thing. AI is a new technology and I am willing to hear out someone tell me, here's what's wrong with AI and let me make my decision. But the problem is, I feel like there's this community of, I'm going to just call them AI haters, that's growing. And they're like fanatical about this shit. They're as bad as Christians shaming you for not, like they're turning into, shit's turning into a religion. They're as bad as the Christians who are like, you're going to hell for not going to church or for not believing what I believe. They're as bad as the anti-vaxxers. That's exactly how it feels like. At the beginning, I was willing to, wait, something's wrong with the vaccine? I want to hear it. At the beginning, I was, you know, don't get me wrong, I was pro-vaccine. But if there's something wrong, I'm willing to hear it. But then it felt like these motherfuckers morphed into a cult of idiots. And it was like, yeah, man, you fucking wearing a mask, you're so stupid, whatever. It's that same thing. So recently, I came across this one video, and homegirl went off. And she was saying shit like, yo, if you're using AI, I didn't save it. I didn't like it. I just kept it moving and told myself I'm not her target audience. So I forget the actual wording, but it was equivalent to, if you're using AI to do basic tasks that most of us can do, you're stupid. She did use the word stupid or you're an idiot, or you're... It was like straight up, I'm attacking you. You know, it felt like the cool kids making fun of, hey, they're not wearing real Jordans. Hey, look, they're wearing, look, the poor kid. You know, it felt like that tone. And she was intense about it. And the only reason this is a conversation, because I remember saying, I'm not her target audience. Go with God and let it go. I went on to do something else. Usually I... But I remember I couldn't let it go. I was so bothered by what she said. Oh, I did. And I feel like this was the intention. This was it was rage bait. It was rage bait. And I remember calming myself down and I just wrote, how different is this rant? Like I'm gonna say something this person is actually gonna reflect on. But I said, how different is this rant from every time someone came up with a new technology and someone had something bad? You know what? I'm old enough to remember when computers were their new thing. I remember when computers on your desktop was a new thing. It's like, hey, we're all getting computers on our desk. And this one job that I had, it was a part-time job at Ottawa U. I worked in the audiovisual department. And so the folks who, did the administration, comptabilité, accounting, and all that shit, all those people who management, whatever, right? And they got told they were going to get a computer, and one guy said, fuck that, I'm not working at computers. And next day, they fired him. I remember my boss telling me, I said, hey, whatever happened to so-and-so? I said, we fired him. He refused to work with a computer. I'm like, wow. I remember at the time, it was kind of harsh. I mean, but that stayed on my mind. He's unwilling, because to him, these computers are stupid. It's a fad. I still remember when people thought the internet was a fad. When hip-hop was a fad. It's going to go away. It's just stupid, man. It's filth. I remember hearing that. And I guess that's why I'm not early detector. Like, I'm not the one who knows what the next thing is going to be. But in that time, something told me that I don't think these computer things is going away. I don't think this internet thing is going away. So or this rap thing is going away. I remember those three, I got it right. So yeah, homegirl's comments fucked with me. And this is not the first time that's happened with me on TikTok. It's the content creator, they speak with such a, what's the word? They spoke with such a, they were so confident in what they were saying. And like I said, it felt like the cool kids rejecting you. It felt like there was a moment where I felt like saying, I'm sorry. Sorry, mom. I'll do better. There was something in that tone that triggered that part of me that, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. And like I said, it was stuck in my mind, and I'm realizing it wasn't her logic that got to me. It was, and that's how I discovered, the chick threw a shin grenade at me. And I fell for it. Her tone reminded me of every time, so back in the days, in my high school days, I used to hang out with the pro-black types, / the hoteps. And, them niggas always had shame grenades for you. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing with that white girl? I don't know. I think we have a thing. I'm digging her. I think she's pretty. She's like, the white man is poor. And what the fuck do you want? What is, you know, like, everyone had a fucking opinion. Like, it was, what are you doing listening to that rap music? What are you doing cursing? And I was, come on, son, anglais, subceptible. I was, I'm going to look up this word. Come on, subceptible en anglais, Chris. It's one of those rare words, subceptible. Oh. Hold on a second.
Susceptible.
Susceptible. Oh, shit. It's always the same fucking word, just pronounced differently. Susceptible. I was so susceptible to those kind of attacks. I think it's because I grew up in a church, and that's how they kept us in line. And say, hey, that's not Christ-like. You want to go to the discotheque? They didn't call it discotheque. I'm being funny. But yeah, you want to go to the discotheque? That's not being Christ-like. You're not being a true Christian. But those shame grenades were how they kept us in line. And I grew up being so vulnerable to that shit. So you guys know what the fuck I'm talking about? Shout out to those who know what I'm talking about. Holler at me, man. And, look, the story ends with me snapping out of it and then saying, fuck it, I'm going to make the feature thought on this episode about how I allowed some complete strangers to get inside my head. Yo, I remember there was a moment where I was thinking about deleting my previous episode. That's what made it embarrassing in that moment, is because I had just done an episode. That's so funny. I had just done an episode where I talked about how I, the previous episode, by the way, calling Knuckles to Purple. And I, I just did an episode on how I used AI to help me write a letter. And in my mind, I'm just being honest. I'm just whatever. But after I heard her talk, I'm like, fuck. The cool kids don't approve of what I just did. I'm talking about feelings, gang. This is all about what's going on in the internal. It's not the way I acted on it, but it's the feeling. You know, maybe I'm realizing that maybe it's kind of weird having a guy talk about his feelings on a podcast, which is why I can understand why a lot of you are probably confused about what the fuck I'm trying to say. But I snapped out of it. That's the important part. Snapped out of it. I'm trying to live this life of by my own terms. But I'm realizing some of the things that stop me from doing that is that fucking voice, that tone. I'm not going to blame these people for being who they are. And I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I don't know if I've ever dropped a shame grenade unintentionally, dropped a shame grenade on other people. What I am going to talk about is how I react to it, which is, spoiler alert, snapped out of it. Let me see what I wrote down. So, yeah. Yes. In order to figure this out, yes, I did use AI to, like, understand this. And this was supposed to be the core message of today's, because I'm struggling to make a point, but I'm going to try this as my point here. When people deliver their views with moral superiority instead of conversation, it stops being about the issue and starts being about control. What hit me wasn't her opinion. It was the shame grenade she lobbed into the room. And it made me realize part of my discomfort comes from wanting to do the right thing and hating feeling of being made to look like I'm not. Yeah, I guess I have this obsession with doing the right thing. And I was going to follow up. I'm thinking of a line with a line by, fuck, out of all people, 50 Cent. He goes, there's a line that goes, when I was young, I couldn't do good. Now that I'm old, I can't do bad. I'm thinking about how, again, grew up in the church, and there was a lot of emphasis on kids, obey your parents. Obey, obey, obey. And how we equated their happiness with your success in life. And then you become an adult, then you start branching off, and then you want to do your own thing, and then all of a sudden, you feel guilty because sometimes when you do your own thing, it's stuff that your parents aren't down with or wouldn't understand. If it was up to my parents, I'd be married to a nice Christian, Haitian, or white woman. And this podcast would be me talking about Jesus. And I'd be, and I'd have some of my crazy relatives live with me, talking shit, borrowing money and not paying me back, putting up with shitty. You know, it's the life. I'm so in tune with what they wanted for me, less in tune with what I wanted for myself. But yeah. Yeah. Shave grenades, gang. Be aware of it. I think if out of anything to take away from this is more, if you're like me on your journey into self-discovery, into being who you want to be, some of those obstacles that'll be in the way will be these shame grenades. Wow. This is probably the first episode that I've made a point, reached a conclusion, realized what I was trying to say. I try to stay away from attempting to preaching, but I feel like I just preached. Hey, maybe I should do more episodes when I'm in a shady mood. But on that note, this concludes today's episode. Since I got a bit of time left, yeah, I'm just going to encourage you to check out the other link. Oh my God, yes. One of the links that I really find interesting is a Nazi woman posts herself doing the Sieg Heil. Sieg Heil, white woman, of course. And what's amazing is the response. This woman, I nearly said poor woman. Ah, fuck her. She's the response she gets from the men. Sexist as fuck. It's like, fellas, she's on your fucking side. And they're like dissing this woman. Apparently she used the wrong hand. And then one guy dissed her because she was wearing a sleeveless shirt. It's like, oh, madam, you floozy. Get a hold of yourself. Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was cool. And there are two other links worth checking out. But, mes amis, boys and girls, and everyone in between, this concludes today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. You know, I'm kind of feeling better from when I recorded. I just needed to get it all out, especially talking about the shame today. But with that said, reminder, shutuppodcast.com is the website. Shutuppodcast 411. 411@gmail.com. @gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast was a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
That red, black, and green part is my way of saying, hey, if you're bitching about, what was you talking about, black shit? It's like, hey, dummy, you pressed play. Should have hit stop. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be there with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all.